Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast, vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some.
You know the term salt of the earth? I guess I screw up the term. I call it dirt of the earth. I said it in like the most earnest way possible.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Thursday afternoon. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman here, as we are ready to unpack the last practices before the Eagles open their preseason on Saturday evening in Baltimore against the famously hard to beat in the preseason Ravens. We've got some Quackness reports to get to. We've got the official announcement of the 2023 Bo Wolf Camp Crush. We're giving away some Mount Joy tickets, and then we're going to close with a little draft of the things that we're most looking forward to ahead of the preseason game on Saturday night. Zach, how are you?
Bo, correct me if I'm wrong, but that sounds like a rundown. Which, are we turning over a new leaf here on Birds with Friends? A rundown for the show. I like it. It's organized. I feel like we should have the pardon the interruption rundown on the right-hand side so the audience knows exactly what they're listening to when.
You're really testing me here.
Because so?
I'm start trying to open the show. We're kumbaya. We're in a good mood, and you got to take a shot at me right away.
That's a compliment.
I say what's happening in the show every episode.
That's a compliment there.
That's not a compliment.
How am I doing? I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Excited for this show.
But you wish you were traveling to a foreign country on Shields podcast instead.
I'm happy to be here. Excited for the show, and we have a lot to discuss, as was explained in the rundown.
All right. Two practices since we last spoke. One of them was at the stadium yesterday and then back at the NovaCare complex today. Why don't we send it over to the Stone Cold Newsman for anything important that we've missed since we last talked birds.
The Eagles are finished the practice-only portion of training camp after a light 54-minute session on Thursday. That was after they were in the stadium on Wednesday. The stadium was as much training camp for the coaches as it was for the players. They were there to work on the mechanical aspects of calling a game, the headset, the being on the sideline, getting in plays, some kinks they're trying to work out, but they are in the process of doing so. As Nick Sirianni said, you want game one to seem like game 10. The injury report is fairly light for this time of year for the Eagles. The only players who remain sidelined are Deion Kane and Patrick Robinson. I'm sorry, and Patrick Johnson. That means that James Bradberry and N'Kobe Dean back at practice. N'Kobe Dean was with the first teamers during practice today. Devontae Smith back with the Eagles after missing Wednesday session to attend the sentencing hearing of his friend and former teammate, Henry Ruggs, in Las Vegas. Further, we heard from Miles Jack and Zach Cunningham for the first time on Wednesday. They were their first time with the Eagles. Miles Jack said that he was actually considering going to trade school before he heard from the Eagles. He was thinking about becoming a plumber or an electrician. He has he's earned enough money in his career to say he said not have to work, but he likes to work. And so if he wasn't going to play football this year, he wanted to do something. He didn't want to sit on the couch. But
man after your own heart.
Yeah, for sure. The Eagles came calling, and Miles Jack is excited for this opportunity in Philly. Although every time he walks by the 2017 Super Bowl memorabilia or signage, however you want to describe it, in the team facility, he is he's reminded of what could have been in 2017 had there not been an early whistle when Miles Jack picked up a fumble or a potential fumble in that AFC Championship game. So that's your quick Miles Jack update. Back to you in the studio, Bo.
I mean, they weren't going to win the Super Bowl either.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I mean, who knows? But yeah, I don't think so.
That defense was tough, and they gave the Patriots all they could handle.
Yeah, but offense matters more. And they had Blake Bortles. So
one would have said back in February of 2018, the Eagles have Nick Foles.
Potentially. But yeah,
that's
I wouldn't be too worried about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. The communication yesterday, you mentioned it briefly, like the dress rehearsal. You want game one to be like game 10. It was there were some odd happenings at practice yesterday at the stadium.
Yeah, you can read it. Bo had the practice observations on Wednesday. He did a great job. You can check that out on The Athletic. There was one sequence that caught a lot of attention when the Eagles.
I have never seen anything like this.
Why don't you explain it? Yeah.
Well, you can explain it. I want to. They were part of the reason they were over there was to work through the game day communication, the headset stuff. And there was they were transitioning to a team drill. And it sounded like from the outside, like it was scripted to be ones against ones, but Nick Sirianni wanted to change it to one offense versus two defense. And he was trying to get that message to Sean Desai. And for whatever reason, Desai couldn't get that message in the headset. And so Howie Roseman, of all people, comes like running over Sean, trying to tell him with like the message. And it was weird because once he got the message, the ones still stayed on the field. So I don't know if they just then stuck to the script. But I have I saw a report the other day of like Ryan Poles helping to break up a fight at Bears camp. But I have never seen Howie so involved like that. It was kind of weird. Didn't you think it was weird?
I didn't think it was weird based on where Howie watches practices. He's often behind the offense where Sirianni is. You know, he floats, but he's often back there. So my understanding of what occurred, and again, this doesn't mean this is absolutely what happened. Only the principal characters involved understand or know what happened. But my understanding is that the headsets malfunctioned. Desai could not hear Sirianni when Sirianni made that change. And Howie Roseman was trying to alert Desai of what was going on because Desai could not hear. Now, again, it doesn't mean that's what happened. That's what I heard happened.
The more you can do.
Yeah, look, Howie's
do your job, and then what?
Howie's similar to you in that he's an astute practice observer. Like Howie's not just on his phone. You know, playing Immaculate Grid during practice, right? He is he's really into it. By the way, quick aside, I should give credit to the writer. I forget who it is. It's from the Vikings website. But the Minnesota Vikings quarterback room plays Immaculate Grid at the end of practice every night. I figured
at the end of their meetings.
Yeah, that's what I meant. At the end of their meetings every night, the end of the practice day. Is that a Kirk Cousins thing to do?
I don't know.
Okay. You have a lot of opinions on Kirk Cousins. But anyways, Howie Roseman's not playing Immaculate Grid on the sideline there. He's tuned into practice. He knew there was a miscommunication there. He alerted Sean
Desai.
No,
is there a miscommunication?
He alerted Sean Desai of what was happening. Yeah, it was noteworthy that it was.
It was just weird. We don't have to make a big deal of it. It's not a thing that matters for the 2023 Eagles season. It was just a weird thing. I'd never seen that before.
But it's so not to give ourselves a pat on the back, but one of the things about being not beat reporters as opposed to just, you know, someone coming in and seeing the team for a day is we have an accumulation of information. So we're not simply looking at like just that day. We're looking at everything within the context of training camp and of the season. And if you recall, Sean Desai had mentioned earlier this summer that there was a situation in practice where they had a substitution issue. And, you know, he got on, you know, Sirianni got on him. He got on himself. It was something that Desai volunteered. The substitution patterns are something that the Eagles are especially mindful of this year. A matter of fact, one of the like subtle changes that they're doing in practice this year is they have the offense on one side and defense on the other side for most of these sessions when typically everyone's either on one sideline or everyone's behind the quarterback. They've changed that now to try to get them on the sidelines throughout the practices to work on some of these substitution issues, substitution patterns that they're going to have during the season.
Well, and listen, you know, the thing that Nick said about wanting game one to be like game 10, to the extent that game day communication stuff matters, I think it's reasonable to expect them to start slowly on that front, right? I mean, he has two new coordinators, and just because he's worked with Brian Johnson before doesn't mean he's worked with him in this capacity. So they need those reps. It makes sense that they would try to get those reps, but I also like it's they're not going to be game 10, game one.
Yeah. I just know that, I mean, this is something that Sirianni is like particularly obsessed with right now. I heard one anecdote that he had an official clock operator at the practice yesterday just to make sure that they're in line with like how the official clock operation would be as opposed to their own people. So this is the kind of stuff that like Sirianni is obsessed about. And it's something that they have to figure out here with two new coordinators, and they want to play a lot of different personnel groupings. But yeah, something to be mindful of. And the other thing I should add to this is if you want to take this a step deeper, I think this is also a sign that they really aren't going to play their starters at all this preseason, or at least very much. Yesterday's practice at the stadium, it was not a coincidence that it was mainly the first teamers and second teamers, right? Like the third teamers didn't get much work. Those guys are going to be playing in the preseason more. They want to get these substitution patterns out of the way or squared away with their starters while they're playing.
Well, and also schedule wise, I mean, having a Saturday preseason game, a Saturday night game, when you have a Thursday night game to follow and joint practices Monday, Tuesday, those guys aren't going to play on Saturday. It would be nuts.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
they already
a series max.
Yeah.
And even that, I'm not so sure. Like,
yeah. So I should say that Nick Sirianni did not commit to anything. He seldom does. For context, the last 2 years, the Eagles did play their starters in the first preseason game. Last season, if you remember, they had this great opening drive against the Jets. Jalen Hurts went 6 for 6, I believe, but he also took a vicious late hit that, I mean, you can go and do some lip reading. You can do some lip reading from Nick Sirianni. He was not happy with Robert Saleh. when that happened. And after that, Jalen Hurts did not play again for the remainder of the preseason. Now, they did have joint practices those next 2 weeks, similar to this year, two against the Browns. Last year, they ended up only having one against the Dolphins because of that mysterious illness that was going on in Miami. This year, they have one against the Colts. So, but I'm guessing that based on the timing, like they are, and you just mentioned this, they basically don't practice during the season when they go from Sunday to Thursday. Now you go from Saturday to Thursday. They're not going to wear these guys out. So
yeah, no doubt. Okay, how about on the field over the last 2 days? What has stood out to you? I guess let me start with now that we've had Zach Cunningham and Miles Jack ingratiated into practice. How are things looking at linebacker?
Yeah, so today those two guys were not with the first team, right? We made a big to-do when they were with the first team on their first day. I suppose I did. It was N'Kobe Dean and Nicholas Morrow today. And
Christian Ellis when they went 5-on-5, yeah.
Yes. So the Cunningham Jack combination, they were with the second team. Something to be mindful of. What jumped out?
Big dude, huh? When he showed up to, he's a big dude. Like Cunningham? Not just the length. When he showed up to his press conference yesterday, I was like, "Who is this tall drink of water?" You didn't think so?
I suppose. I mean, he looks like a football player. Yeah.
Yeah, I know he looks like a football player. He doesn't look like a linebacker to me. You disagree?
What position would you think he played?
Wide receiver.
Really? Okay.
Or tight end? Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
He made a nice play yesterday, breaking up a pass over the middle to Grant Calcaterra.
I would have gone edge rusher.
Okay.
Okay. So today's practice, like as I said, 54 minutes, not a lot of time with the ones. Some things that jumped out: Dallas Goedert on the first series of 11-on-11s, targeted twice, making plays. Dallas Goedert was on track last year for 81. Catches 1,000-plus yards before that injury in the Washington game. If he's healthy this year, I know not everyone can have a big year. I think Dallas Goedert's going to have a big year. He's been consistent this whole summer. Alumni Zacchaeus had – what's that?
He has had a very good summer.
Yeah. Yes. Alumni Zacchaeus has had he had two catches that stand out in my mind. One seemed like a busted coverage, but the other one that jumped out was in 7-on-7s. When nice throw by Hurts, it was along the right sideline. Vontae Maddox was in coverage. I had Nolan Smith in my notes, as I seem to, again, maybe confirmation bias, but Nolan Smith's in the backfield a lot. And Nolan Smith's eager to play a game. You got to remember, he was hurt last year. Georgia hasn't played in a while. He talked after practice. He's ready to play. Joseph Ngata took some reps with the ones today. It was a series when Quez Watkins and Devontae Smith weren't on the field, but I think what that represents is that he's kind of atop the undrafted rookie depth chart, or at least those bottom of the depth chart wide receivers. Scrolling through my notes here, Dean, as I said, with the first team, Josh
let me
Job.
Ask, let me ask, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say is Josh Job continues to
yes.
To look good, and I don't know if I'm taking the L on that. I was never like anti Josh Job. I thought Grady Williams was going to be the number three guy, and Josh Job is almost like firmly in there. I mean, maybe Kelee Ringo with a good preseason, but I think that's going to be Josh Job's spot.
I think it's Job over Grady and Ringo for sure. The only other variable there that I'm not sure about is would they be willing to move Zach McPherson back outside?
Sure.
But because this is a different defensive coordinator, like he doesn't have experience with McPherson on the outside, and we haven't seen him take a single rep on the outside this summer. So I don't know. I think you're right. And Job has that spot right now on merit. He has been very good.
Yep.
Yeah. Let me ask you a N'Kobe Dean question. This is what I was thinking about on the sideline today. Of the five Georgia guys on defense, Kelee Ringo, N'Kobe Dean, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, and Nolan Smith. If you had to go water gun to your knee right now and say, which one of those five guys is going to have the best Eagles career, who would you say?
Jalen Carter.
Okay.
Probably based on rep, on reputation, but okay.
And who do you think is going to be the longest tenured Eagle?
No, Jalen Carter or Nolan Smith.
Okay.
I mean, they have a leg up in that they're rookies on 5-year contracts, basically, but yeah.
True. That's true. Well, I mean length. So like if Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter leave at the same time, Davis gets one extra year. Like the those years count, not, you know what I mean? I'm not saying like who's going to be on the team.
Oh, gotcha. Not who's the last one standing, but who plays
the longest. Right. Who would have the, I mean, it's 1 year difference.
Yeah.
I am trying to guard against not overreacting to 2 weeks of training camp. And I agree. Like if you go water gun to my head, I would say it's going to be Jalen Carter because he comes with the biggest pedigree. He's the, you know, he should be the best player.
Premium position that ages well. Yeah.
Right. I'm trying not to overreact. I think Nolan Smith is, I think the answer could be Nolan Smith.
Oh yeah.
Right. He's been really good. I think he's going to be a guy who is going to be here a long time because like he's sort of wired in the way that you would think they would want to keep guys around. I do also think that Jordan Davis has the highest floor of all of these guys, right? Like, there's a realistic possibility that Jalen Carter just sort of washes out of the league at some point. N'Kobe Dean could be too small, too injured. Kelee Ringo could just be, you know, he's a fourth round corner. That happens all the time. Maybe Nolan Smith doesn't have a position, but with Jordan Davis, like no matter what, he's going to be an NFL caliber nose tackle, right? Like that is there. And so like, he's going to be here for that at least.
That's true. It's a really good question. I mean, I'm with you on Nolan Smith. There's a reason I thought the Eagles would take him in round one, because he's that type of player. And I think we're all seeing, what made him a candidate there at number 10. Yeah, I've been really impressed with him, and it befuddles me. I said this on Shields Pod, but it befuddles me that 29 picks went by in the first round and no one took this guy because based on the athleticism and the fact
that they had to stop the draft to give you a standing ovation for predicting he was going to go 20 picks earlier.
I mean, first round's a first round, but you don't need to relitigate that. By the way, I did decide after listening to the previous podcast we had with Mountjoy. Matt was a great guest. Appreciated that. But I should make an announcement here. I am finished talking about debating about Jonathan Gannon. I think it's tired. I think it detracts from the show. I think it's not like, look, everyone has their opinion of Jonathan Gannon. I think part of me is playing contrarian sometimes, but it's not like to me. It's
not. I was the one who brought it up. It's not. That's not.
No, but it's not even like it's not an interesting discussion to me anymore on the show. And I feel as if we're gonna be doing this like every if something happens in a Cardinals game, or if he has a soundbite or like that video clip that you showed, then it's fair to talk about. But if we just deviate into a Jonathan Gannon discussion, I'm gonna say, hey, look, reasonable minds can disagree.
I think that's fair. We don't have to totally belabor that one.
To your point about Nolan Smith, you're right. He just he moves so well. It's hard to find guys like that. I think that the it's funny. I asked him today about playing off ball linebacker, and he's like, well, it's not what I want to do. it's not what I want to do, but I'll do anything to add value to the team. He talked about going from 4i to the edge to the outside, and the fact that he's able to do all that and the way he moves. I don't know him personally. Like I've had a few interview interactions. That's not knowing someone, but from what I've heard, just the intangibles are all there. He's someone who the Eagles are going to have to find these next core players, right? And some of them might be guys that they've already given contract extensions to. You know, Jalen Hurts is the guy in that building, but on defense, they're going to need some core players, and Nolan Smith kind of has that personality to be one of those guys.
All right. Anything else from practice the last couple of days? Did you want to get on into your politics point from today?
We should talk yesterday. It was a big story among Eagles fans, the Derek Barnett shove. What did you make of that?
So I actually only saw half of it. I didn't see the whole thing from where I was sitting, but I don't know. It seemed totally fine. Not a big deal. From what I understand, like Landon Dickerson was the aggressor there.
Well, Landon Dickerson made a block within the whistle, right? Like it was so for our audience here, it was not.
But like Fletcher Cox took umbrage to the block too. It was like it wasn't just Derek Barnett being on a hair trigger.
No, but Derek Barnett's the one who got the penalty flag, right? There were officials on the field, yeah, and they threw the flag on Barnett. So this is what happened. Okay?
Yeah, but there's a different. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. So it was the Eagles were backed up, okay, and they threw that like wide. I wouldn't even call it a wide receiver screen, but maybe that's what we'll call it, a wide receiver screen. The short pass to AJ, you know, and then Landon has the crackback block, okay. And it was an aggressive crackback block. He blocked Derek Barnett to the ground. Barnett stood up after the whistle, came from behind, and pushed Dickerson. A flag was thrown. Derek Barnett is the only time this summer that the Eagles have had a personal foul during practice. Am I wrong?
Well,
they haven't had anything close to like a fight, a scuffle.
There was one mini skirmish in one-on-ones, but
okay, yeah, no, but I'm saying like in the team drills, there hasn't been anything close to it. And Derek Barnett,
listen, we know you have your anti-Derek Barnett agenda here.
I don't have any anti-Derek Barnett agenda. I'm reporting what occurred, and
I am not moved by this because listen, there is a difference that practice how you play and all of that. There is a difference between if someone blocks you like that in a game and if your teammate blocks you like that in practice.
Okay.
I think Fletcher Cox is also upset about the block. Like this is not just Derek Barnett doing Derek Barnett things. This seems to me like it was a normal reaction for what occurred considering what the other defensive linemen thought.
Okay. I mean, I'm not like Landon Dickerson's play might have been too aggressive for practice. I'm not disagreeing with you there. What I am saying is that Nick Sirianni is literally going to have a message in his meeting tonight where he's going to use this play as an example to the team that they need to go to the next snap. He's going to say, do your fighting between the whistle. Right. And
listen, Derek Barnett has not had a good summer. Okay. He may not make the team. It's actually going to be hard for him to not make the team because of the cap stuff. But, you know, he hasn't looked great. I think his most interesting snaps have come as an inside pass rusher, which they've given him sometimes. And maybe that's a role for him. But I don't care that he did this. This is not a big deal.
Well, I don't care that he had. Look, this is part of football. Like I'm not saying, well, stop the presses because there was a shoving match or whatever after a session. I'm saying,
are you the one who threw the flag?
I'm simply saying that if you have a reputation for personal fouls, okay, or penalties after the play, and the only time that flag has been thrown this summer is based on is on something you did, then
it's not like they've been throwing the, like that. They were officiating that one differently because it was on the field, right? So like there haven't been other practices like that.
Okay, but there hasn't been. But we've been at every practice. Yeah. There hasn't been anything after the snap this summer before that. That's my only point.
I don't know. I just like it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal until it happens in a game, right?
Yeah, and we have enough history that may happen in a game, but that's not because it happened once at practice because Landon Dickerson was being too aggressive.
Okay.
I don't know. I think we agree to disagree, I guess.
Fair enough.
All right.
Or we can just disagree. I never understood that. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to agree to disagree. You can just disagree and be fine doing so.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Anything else? Should we get to this year's crush?
No, so you mentioned the politics thing. No, there were a number of dignitaries at practice today.
It was the special ballot in Ohio you wanted to discuss?
The what?
Go ahead.
No, there were, I mean, there were famous people there. Bo's there every day, so not including Bo. That joke's in the practice observations, by the way.
Okay. Jory Epstein.
Give you a little warning. Yeah, outstanding senior national reporter, senior NFL reporter from Yahoo Sports. No, I'll say there was Malcolm Jenkins, the former Eagle, who is, in my 12 years covering the team, one of the most important players that has come through that building. Todd Herriman's really good offensive lineman for the team.
He looks so good. He does. All these offensive linemen, they retire.
I think you found your camp crush.
Honestly, maybe.
And then the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, who
close personal friend of yours.
Not a close personal friend of mine, but Josh Shapiro, he's the governor of Pennsylvania. The first time he's been at practice since he was elected, and he was taking in practice from the sideline with Jeffrey Lurie. Howie Roseman stopped by, but nice to see the gov there.
Okay.
That's what Bo was referring to with the political thing.
What specific West Wing line of dialogue was going through your mind as you saw them on the sideline?
I could quote 5 seasons of the West Wing. I can't really quote the last 2 seasons as well. Once Sorkin left, it wasn't quite the same for me. There are a few good episodes there. There was a convention with the governor of Pennsylvania. It was actually played, I believe, by Ed O'Neill. He was the governor of Pennsylvania, and he dropped out of the election. So there you go. That's a West Wing reference.
Okay.
But Jim McHugh says, wonder if he took 95 South. Anyone who was driving 95 could, thank the governor for expediting that process.
There you go. All right. You ready to get to?
Yes. The moment I've been waiting for all summer.
Oof. I've never had more trouble than this year. Like the bubble and brush. Usually it's more of a love at first sight type deal. So let me take you through all the contenders here. This is the list of people who I were on my radar heading in. I thought maybe these guys fit the profile. Let me take a close look at them, see if something moves the needle. Never quite happened. Grant Calcaterra, I think, has had a solid summer, but not really taken that leap. Noah Ellis has been a little bit underwhelming, I think, as the third team nose tackle. Tristan McCollum, the third team safety, who is the twin brother of Zion McCollum. The most flashy thing I've seen him do was a really nice play downing a punt near the goal line, but unfortunately has not gotten enough burn on defense to be in contention. Eli Ricks. I don't like the way he moves. Janarius Robinson. Interesting player, but not different enough than from what my expectations were of him. He's had some flashes. Got those long stems, and he's batted some passes down, but he's also been a little bit invisible at times. And then heading into camp, Trevor Reed was on my radar, but I had the same unfortunate reaction as the Eagles appeared to have, that and it just wasn't happening. You've got the guys who have given me some flashes at points, and I thought, ooh, this could be the beginning of something. Maybe this is the start of a beautiful relationship. Mekhi Garner, feisty, been around the ball a little bit, just not for me. Mario Goodrich has been moved into the slot and had a few nice reps as a second and third team slot, but it's not going to be Mario Goodrich. Jaden Hazelwood, I think he's got nice, strong hands, But he doesn't quite have enough wiggle, enough juice for it to be a receiver. Kyron Johnson, when he gets to rush the passer, I like Kyron Johnson, but they don't use him in that capacity enough. And so it's not going to be Kyron Johnson. And then the newcomer, Johnny King, has had a nice couple of days of practice, pretty active, but also not going to be the man to succeed DeAndre Carter and Elijah Riley and Sua Opeta and Reed Blankenship.
You know how to pick them.
I sure do. Two guys who we've talked about and sort of on merit, you could say, are like the guys who have had some of the best camps. Josh Jobe, we talked about. He has been better than expected, I think. But for whatever reason, it's just it's not for my heart. And then Joseph Ngata, he's been very productive, no doubt. I don't think he's – I'm very wary of, like, really big receivers who don't move, especially athletically.
The MoMA effect.
Yeah. It's, okay. Listen, he's been productive. And I think he has a real shot to actually make the team.
Yes.
But it's not for me.
Okay.
The two guys who, if we were going down the traditional path of the Beau Wolf camp crush, a rookie, these are the two guys who were in consideration. I mentioned to you before, Tanner McKee. He looks good at times. When he gets the ball out quickly, he's accurate in those first 10 yards. I think he has times when he makes like really nice, quick decisions. But I think I've seen him throw the ball beyond 15 yards downfield like one time. I think he has already overtaken Ian Book if there's going to be a third quarterback on the roster. But I can't put my stamp on Tanner McKee. The guy who I was very close to pulling the trigger on, who I think has had a very good last week of camp. And I think he's going to make the team. When before the start of camp, I might have said he wasn't going to make the team. Old 56% O. Moro Ojimo. I think he's good. He's young. He's strong. He's got those long, long arms. I think he's going to be a guy to watch. And I think he's going to be a good player. He is the closest to the traditional BWCC. So a shout out to Moro for taking home that honor. But it's not going to be any of those guys. There are two other people who I really considered. One of them was doing something unprecedented. And that would have been extending the crush to a full-on relationship and just doubling down on Reed Blankenship. But he's too good. Everybody knows he's good. It's already happened. He's going to be a starting safety. But I think he's going to be like a Pro Bowl safety. I think that's the level I would have to believe in him to extend it to full-on relationship and take myself off the market.
Have to put a ring on it.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it. I love him, but it's not it. And so the man who's going to be taking home the honor of the 2023 Beau Wolf Camp Crush is someone I think I've already mentioned how I feel about him. I talked about it in the last podcast. It's not his first time on the team. He helped save the Eagles in a certain phase last year. Even did well in his one defensive appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But this summer, even in the spring, he's taken his game to another level. And I think this is the situation where, as the Eagles are looking to fill this position, I think their best guy is already here. This year's Beau Wolf Camp Crush is the best linebacker on the team, Christian Ellis.
Wow. Well done in terms of the suspense. Can I ask a few follow-up questions here?
Of course.
Christian Ellis, who has been taking first-team snaps throughout the summer, not too popular for the Camp Crush?
I don't think so, because what I am putting my stamp on is that is that he is better than he's better than even his reps indicate. I think he's a bit of a variance player, but I think in this day and age on defense and in this defensive structure, I think you want to invite a little bit of variability. Like, let's not play, and I'm not taking a shot at Gannon here, but let's not play the let's just let them drive down the field and try to make a stop on the red zone. Let's go try to get some turnovers. Like, let's change the game that way. And I think he's the guy who can do that.
Second question here. The history of the camp crush is often someone who it's like the girl you see at the bar from a distance. You don't have the history with them yet. Mm. You and Christian Ellis had a moment last year when you were both humming the same music, correct?
Or no. I recognized the music that he was singing,
gotcha,
which was from a Disney show. And I've always been, okay, a little bit high on Christian Ellis. And so this is where the heart comes in.
But did that relationship influence the camp crush?
Potentially. Okay. This is about following my heart. And as I thought about when I get to practice every day, who's the guy that I really want to get some eyes on and see how he's doing today? Who's the guy who I feel prideful for when he makes a nice play? It's Christian Ellis. He's been my guy.
And then last question for you is, you have the crush. You go over to pick them up at the date. The father answers the door. Mm. The father answers the door here. 6'5", 318 pounds.
Yeah, I got to worry about the brothers.
Two-time Pro Bowler Luther Ellis. Man, I mean, are you a little intimidated by Luther answering the door?
No. Okay. No, because my intentions are pure, and I think he knows that.
Okay.
And Noah and Caden, I think, can vouch for me.
So Christian Ellis is the camp crush.
Mm.
Bo goes with the Christian. That's a congratulations to Christian Ellis. You are bound to follow in the wonderful footsteps of Sua Opeta and Coyote Awashika and
yes,
Elijah Riley and DeAndre Carter.
And Reed Blankenship.
And Reed Blankenship.
Yeah, this is the most experienced NFL player. Although I guess DeAndre Carter had been kicking around the league about the same time, but not with the Eagles. It's a different deal. This is just how the summer has turned out.
I mean, this is big. It's the, in my opinion, it's the second most prestigious designation that a down the roster guy gets during training camp.
Okay.
The first one is the Dave Zingaro training camp diary, because that has an illustrious history of Jordan Mailata was one. I got to think he's had a few others that like he's really picked them well. And this year he has Moral Ojimo.
Yes.
For that. So, yeah,
that's a good one. All right. Do you have a camp crush, Zach?
I like them all.
There's at least one that you don't like.
Who?
The guy who keeps committing personal foul penalties.
I got to tell you, Derek Barnett and I have had over the years like a good relationship. I've written extensively about. I wrote, not to the degree that you did when you went down to Nashville, but I wrote a big story on him in his rookie year. Spoke to his mom, Christine. I've written about him a number of times over the years. We've had good conversations. This is nothing personal. I'm just acknowledging a personal foul. So I suppose it is personal based on the foul, right?
That's right. Yeah. All right. Before we go to break, if there are people listening right now in the Philadelphia area who want to go to the Mount Joy show on Saturday night, here's what we're going to do. And listen, if you're not listening live and you're listening shortly after, still participate. We're going to give these tickets away, two tickets, to the first person who emails birdswithfriendspodcast@gmail.com with a list of three players. You remember that we had our guest on Tuesday, the lead singer of Mount Joy. I'm not going to tell you his name right now because what I want is three Eagles who have the same first name or same last name as the lead singer of Mountjoy, who we had on Tuesday. Okay. So if his name is Derek Barnett, give me three people who have the same three Eagles with either Derek or Barnett, except that's not his name. And the first person who responds correctly will have those two tickets to Mountjoy. So happy hunting. Doesn't have to be current Eagles, any all-time Eagles. We'll be back on the other side to talk about our expectations for the preseason opener on Saturday night against the Ravens. All right, we're back on Birds with Friends. Zach, we've already got the answers flowing in to the Birds with Friends podcast at gmail.com email address. Five answers so far. And there were four of them at the exact same time at 3:46 p.m., but it looks like the win is going to Matthew Uresco. Which three would you have said, Zach?
I actually didn't put much thought into it.
Robert Quinn?
Yeah.
Matt Pryor?
I would go on Matt Barkley.
And Matt Barkley. That's okay. Who he has.
Yeah.
Like milliseconds later comes Josh, who has Robert Quinn, Matt Barkley, and Matt Leo.
Ah, okay. Matt Leo never played in a game. That's okay.
That's going to count. Yeah, that counts. Okay. You know, okay. We even have a Matt Patricia here, and I'm going to count that as well.
Ah, okay.
So there you go. I'll reach out to the people who are getting these tickets. Congratulations. All right, Zach. We already talked about expecting not much from the starters here on Saturday night, but let's do a little back and forth. Let's pick three things each that we were looking forward to seeing on Saturday night. I'll let you go first.
Real quick, I just want to add, this has come out while we've been on the pod. The Ravens have announced that they will not play their starters on Saturday night. So
the league must be furious.
I don't think it's going to factor into Nick Sirianni's decision, but it's Harbaugh said none of the, this is according to Jeff Zrabec, the outstanding reporter for The Athletic, that none of the established starters, including Lamar Jackson, obviously will play Saturday. The thing that the first that I'm most eager to see, we mentioned it earlier in the show, is I do think these rookies are going to get some time, obviously, and the first round picks in particular. I want to see Nolan Smith out there. I want to see what Jalen Carter does against players from another jersey. Those two guys in particular, I'm very eager to see.
Okay, I think that's reasonable. I wonder how much they're going to play, but certainly worthy of keeping an eye on.
I imagine Nolan Smith will play more than Jalen Carter.
I think that's probably right. Yeah. Carter's probably going to have to play a little bit too. I mean, you have to think about where they are, like, really deep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not like Noah Ellis and Moro Ojimo can play an entire half. They're going to have to rotate a little bit. So Carter will have to play. And on the edge, Patrick Johnson's probably out,
yes,
right? So Nolan Smith's going to be playing with Kyron Johnson. So I think Nolan Smith's going to have to play a good amount. I'm going to say I want to see Tanner McKee live, see how he runs the offense, see if he's willing to throw the ball downfield. I think I'm not 100% sure that we're going to have three quarterbacks on this roster. You and I are doing a 53-man projection for tomorrow. I will have McKee on over book, but he needs to show it a little bit. And again, I'm curious to see how he does against a live defense.
So give me the refresher here. If the third quarterback is not on the 53-man roster, he's not eligible to be the emergency quarterback, correct?
I believe that's right. Yes.
Okay. So in order for them to have the emergency quarterback, they need to have three on the roster. So they're incentivized to keep three, correct?
Unless you – can you do the elevation for it?
That's what I thought. I thought the practice squad elevation is not a candidate. I would need to get clarification on that.
To be clear, I think they will eventually have three quarterbacks on the roster. I don't know if it's going to be one of these two guys.
Interesting. Okay. Similar to what they did last year when they claimed
– My turkeys would still be on McKee.
Okay. The most famous one of that during my time covering the team was when Matt Barkley and Tim Tebow – it was the big story in the final preseason game, the final weeks of camp, and Chip Kelly did not keep either one of them. and instead traded Barkley, cut Tebow, and added Thaddeus Lewis. Or, yeah, I believe Thaddeus Lewis. Either Thaddeus Lewis or the – there was a quarterback from Stephen Morris was another one. But I think it was Thad Lewis they added that year.
I'll never forget when he brought in Dennis Dixon.
Not sure why. Okay, so I am up here and going a little down the depth chart, but I talked about him earlier. Joseph Ngata has made plays, and he's been catching the ball. He has, I think, 6'3", 217 or 6'3", 212. He has the frame that you look for. Was a former top recruit at Clemson. Injuries affected him in college, but I think if he makes some plays in camp, then I'm sorry, if he makes some plays in preseason games, they might be compelled to keep six receivers, would it be? Or do they cut Covey and go five and have someone else return punts? I'm curious to see that.
You can elevate Covey, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine is one thing we try to do, which we haven't done yet this summer, is like try to contextualize what we think we've seen and like could we have it wrong. And one thing that I think that has become clear over the course of camp is the second and third team defensive lines have been sort of dominating the second and third team offensive lines. So I want to see if that holds up. Does the, you know, when Marlon Tuipulotu and Moro Ojomo are out there and Janarius Robinson, are they killing the backup Ravens offensive linemen? And conversely, you know, when it's Josh Andrews and Tyler Steen and Jack Driscoll, do they do better against a Ravens front that is not supposed to be as good as the Eagles? So I want to see if we can get a different understanding of the relative strengths of those two units.
Good one. I'm sticking with the fantasy football positions and going with the running backs here. Okay. The Eagles have their depth chart out, and it's an or fest, if you will. It's the unofficial depth chart. But
you know what they call that?
What's that?
You know what they call that?
An or fest?
Yeah.
What?
An orgy.
I don't know who they who they is there. I'm staying away from that one. But with the Eagles depth chart, it is ors at like the top five running back spots, right? They don't have a starting running back. They have I'm trying to pull up in the viewer here, which I unfortunately can't do, but I saw on the flip card that was sent out it was Kenny Gainwell or Boston Scott or Rashad Penny or Trey Sermon or DeAndre Swift. Poor Kennedy Brooks. No shot.
It's not
So yeah, I want to say I'm imagining Trey Sermon gets most of the work here. If you're playing daily fantasy for Saturday night, I
get some help. First of all,
far be it for me to advise anyone on how to try to earn a few dollars. I would go with
rob a bank. You know, I went to high school with a guy who ended up robbing banks.
You did?
Yeah. He was he became a New York City police officer and used that guise and to rob several banks before getting caught. And what's interesting is that what's interesting is when we were in high school, someone had been stealing from people's wallets in the locker room, in the athletic locker room, and somebody set up a camera to see who was gonna as a sting operation to see who was gonna take the money. And this guy was caught doing it, but he didn't get in trouble because the person was not allowed to be videotaping.
Yeah, I would think the person videotaping in the locker room
would be
more trouble than the person.
So it was like a both of you people shouldn't have done this. Let's move on and not let it happen again situation. Yeah. But
what?
You know, he found something he was good at. You gotta respect that.
Yeah, you guys had some role benders at Country Day at Westchester Country Day. Is that
close enough?
Close enough. Okay. Rye Country Day.
Yeah.
Okay, Rye Country Day. So is it my turn? I just said the running back.
No, I think it's my turn. It's the last one. This is not a good answer. In general, I just want to see like who pops. Like there's going to be somebody down the roster who pops, like maybe one of the corners does something interesting. I actually think that the most interesting player, like the guy who I would bet on to have a big game, would probably be Sidney Brown, because he is active and hopefully he gets some work. He's been flying around a little bit. I agree with what you said the other day, Zach, that after this game, we're probably going to start to see Sidney Brown all of a sudden moving up the depth chart and getting some reps with the ones. I think that will happen. But I also, I guess I'll throw a nod out to the punch competition. Let's see how that goes in live action.
Where are you leaning there? Sipos or Zettner?
I'm leaning Sipos. I'm leaning Sipos. Over the field as well, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. What about you?
I think they'll bring in someone else. Yeah, I think off the board.
Okay. How many other people even are there? I guess we got to scour how many other punching competitions there are.
Yeah, exactly. This is what the pro scouting staff does.
Okay. Anything else to talk about?
No. A hectic few days coming up here, and in a 13-day period, the Eagles play three preseason games and have three joint practices. So they will see other teams' jerseys more than they see their own jerseys during that time.
That can't be true.
Yeah, there are off days in there. They don't have just Eagles practices or walkthroughs more than they have these preseason games.
They see their own jerseys in the locker room.
All right, if you're being literal, it was a figure of speech, Paul.
They show up to work, they see their jerseys hanging
out. So my point is that camp or the summer goes into a different gear this point.
We're about to hit the highway.
Yeah, so
we've been driving on the back streets
last year when it went to three preseason games instead of four. There's like a flow to the summer where you have the training camp portion and then you have the preseason / joint practice portion. And then you have this 2-week lull before the season. And so that's where we're entering stage two before you get to that stage three lull. So get excited because it's less talking about what happened in practice and more talking about what happened in games and joint practices.
And it's interesting. Matt Quinn said this to us when we got off air the other night, that the stage one that you're talking about, this is when we are of more service than ever because we're the only ones who get to see these guys during training camp. Come stage two, you know, you get to everybody gets to watch the preseason games.
Yep.
So, you know, hopefully we haven't been too much of a disservice over the first 2 weeks, and now you don't need us anymore.
No, hopefully what we've reported becomes validated and you say, man, Bo really knows how to watch practice and you want to keep listening.
Last thing, Zach, why don't we give a plug to your big New York Times story?
Well, it was an athletic
New
story.
York Times tweeting that bad boy out.
Yeah, I appreciated that. New York Times, our parent company, sharing.
They know you're a company man.
Very much a company man. Yes. Let the record state that.
I might want to delete that Shapiro tweet.
That's just reporting who was at practice. I wasn't there. All right. So I had a story that came out yesterday on Food Chaser's Kitchen, which is a restaurant in Elkins Park.
How would you describe Elkins Park, Zach?
That's a suburb. and Jalen Hurts came there. I should say this. The story's ostensibly about Jalen Hurts, but it's more about these two twin sisters, former school principals, PhDs, I believe, doctor, the Johnstones, and wonderful. I enjoy getting a chance to be with them and spend some time with them and eat their cheesesteak. But so they started this restaurant during the pandemic. It was a dream of theirs. And they, winter 2021. Come 2022, June 2022, Jalen Hurts visits as part of a Pepsi commercial promoting Black-owned businesses. And Jalen was just kind of supposed to stop by, but really took an interest in them and in their story. Spent like 5 hours there, made a cheesesteak. He wasn't actually supposed to make a cheesesteak. Put the apron on, made a cheesesteak. He wanted to put mozzarella cheese on. They said, no, we don't put mozzarella. We use Cooper Sharp and the fried onions. They use mayo. I don't typically put mayo on cheesesteaks, but it worked in their case. And that became the Jalen special. Jalen, you know, he did the gritty with the kids there. He played, you know, he sat in the room with the video games with their nephew. And as he was leaving, he said he wants to help them. And they're thinking, help them. Is he going to bring the offensive line? Is Jason Kelce going to come? If only he knew what was going to happen. He had a number of subtle and intentional ways during the next few months that you can read about that he tried to bring awareness to food chasers. And then on the biggest stage, he was asked at the Super Bowl, he was in front of national and international media, asked what his favorite cheesesteak is or a cheesesteak place he recommends. And he took that time to mention food chasers. And since then, business has been booming. And they said Jalen Hurts has changed their life. He's given them a voice. And now, similar to Jalen, they're not putting a ceiling on what their options could be. You know, they're thinking of expanding. So you can read that all on The Athletic. And there was a line taken out of that story, which I don't usually do this, but I thought but it was taken out. So I'll listen. In parentheses, when I was describing the cheesesteak, I wrote like writer's note or as an aside, from someone who appreciates cheesesteaks, I can attest it is good.
Oh, they took it out.
They took it out. Yes.
This was going to be my follow-up question. I have two follow-ups, and this was going to be one of them.
Yes.
How was the cheesesteak?
The cheesesteak was good. Was really good. Cheesesteak was really good. I was a little bit reluctant. I've never had mayo on a cheesesteak. I'll admit that. And I told them that. And they said, you got to have mayo on the cheesesteak. And actually, shout out to Brent Johnstone, their brother, who runs a terrific charity in his own right. I don't have the name of it in front of me. Something Dad's Reading, something of that nature. I'll get that right for the next show. I don't think he puts mayo on his cheesesteak, but I had the mayo on the cheesesteak and it wasn't like pronounced. It was a nice touch, but, good cheesesteak, really good cheesesteak. Cooper Sharp and the onions had it fresh off the grill, right? They brought it out to me on a plate. And I got to say, though, like I was really hungry that day. Mm. You know, I met them on a Friday. The interview took a while for good reason. Like I really enjoyed talking to them. I hadn't eaten breakfast, so I was hungry. And if you have a fresh cheesesteak when you're hungry, right? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But it was really good. And, I enjoyed sharing that story. So if you make it to Elkins Park, check that out. And, they're going to be expanding hopefully. So, or potentially.
Yes. Please read the story. A fun one and a good little peek into, the intentionality of the things that Jalen Hurts does. My other follow-up, Zach, inside baseball here, the two owners, identical twins, right?
Yeah.
Was that ever an issue for you in the writing and like listening to your recording process?
Yeah, it was one of the biggest challenges I've had writing a story in my career, and because it was great that you know we were all together, which makes it conversational, right? You want an interview that's conversational where they're bouncing off each other, they're joking. It makes it more lively. Okay. I use a recorder. I don't use a video camera, obviously. Right. When you're in person and they're talking, you look in the eyes of who's talking. So, you know, who's who. The recorder doesn't pick that up. And their voices sound so alike to the point that, so I use an app on my phone that identifies like speaker one, speaker two, speaker three. They were both identified as the same speaker by the app. Which made it even more challenging. So what you had to do is there were times when they would say, and I wrote down, you know, like I wrote in my notes when Maya spoke or when Kayla spoke. But also there were times when Maya would say Kayla and I, or Kayla would say Maya and I, and then you would match the voices up that way. But there were, they'd be doing that and they would interrupt each other's thoughts. Right. And so you're trying to do that. And this has happened one other time in my career. And this is kind of all comes full circle, if you will. Back in 2013, I did an A1 story for the Inquirer, Flex, on the Morris twins. I was out in Phoenix for the owners meetings, and I went to the Suns practice facility, and I did it on the Morris twins. I did a story on the Morris twins, and I interviewed them.
Of course. Yeah, Philly guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I interviewed them together. Their voices weren't as like, you know, I was able to break that up a bit. That one was, but I do remember thinking that at the time. The reason it comes full circle is I believe the Morris twins were once in a class. The Johnstones are former class principal or former principals. I believe either Maya or Kyla, I saw this on their Instagram page recently, were principals at a school with the Morris twins.
Interesting.
So yeah, so that all comes full circle.
That's about as perfect a ZB story as a ZB story gets.
Yeah, happy to share that one.
We hit all of your favorite things.
Food, cheesesteak, Philly. Yep.
And reporting.
And reporting. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We'll be back with the post-game pod late Saturday night. Probably, I'm guessing, around, you know, 10:45, 11 p.m. would be our target. So join us then. But for now, that'll do it. For Zach and Kent and food chasers everywhere, I'm Bo. We thank you for listening. We will talk to you Saturday night. And as always, we love you. Birds with Friends.